Well, good morning, everybody. How's everyone doing today? Everybody doing good? Glad you're in God's house today. Amen. Well, guys, we had a great week last week. We had our revival. Had really good attendance all three nights, and we just appreciate everybody coming out for that was able to. We also had our fish fry last night, which was very good. In fact, we thought we were going to have way too much fish, but by the time we all got to-go plates, we got rid of all of it. So, had a good time. Had close to 40 people here last night, so that was a great time, too. We had about 36, I think is what I counted. So, got a lot of people out on vacation today, so we hope and pray they'll have a good time and safe travel. But we're glad you are here today. Amen. Glad that everybody came out here today. When we get done with our service today, we're going to load up and do our homeless ministry up in Athens. So please be in prayer for us about that. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I want to ask you a question this morning. That question is, are you willing to adapt? And one of the things I've been thinking about is, as I've done a lot of study over the last few weeks and the Lord's laid on my heart, I think it's important that we understand that with God, it's not about our outer appearance. It's about how we are on the inside. And I think a lot of times we lose track of that. And we're caught up in rituals and things that really were created by man, that were endorsed by man. And I'm going to share some of those with you today. And I want to try to help clarify some stuff with you. You know, Brother Ricky hit on this a little bit in one of his sermons about getting too traditional sometimes and too legalistic about things. And we forget about the whole purpose that we're here for. And that is to serve Jesus. Amen. That is the reason we're really here. We're here to reach people with the gospel of Christ. If you have any other ulterior motive behind you, then we're not getting to where we need to be. So I want to share with you these verses here today. And I love this scripture right here. I'm quick to show people this scripture when they get to harping on, well, you need to act this way and you need to do this certain thing. And you ain't supposed to do this and not supposed to do that. This is the Apostle Paul talking about his strategy for reaching the lost. And guys, you got to have a game plan. We live in a day and age today where things are rapidly changing. We do not live in the same type of culture we lived in 40 or 50 years ago. We're in a constant state of revolving and evolving into different groups of people, different attitudes, different styles. And we got to be prepared for that. We cannot remain in a traditionalist type of mindset and reach the lost. Yeah, we're going to reach some of them, but we're going to miss out on generations of people if we're not careful here. So let's look at this scripture. If you can, and we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to read verses 19 through 23. If you can, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet in honor of reading God's word. Plus, it gets a little blood flow. You know, Baptists are bad about it. When they sit down for any length of time, they start nodding off. So I believe standing up is at least get some blood flow all the way down to your feet. Amen. Beginning with verse 19. What did he say? I know he said something. All right, verse 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Father God, I just ask now, Lord, you add your blessings to the reading of your word. Lord, let nothing I say in the next few minutes be about me. Empty myself of me and let it be all about you, Lord, to glorify you. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you have your sermon notes and you're going to follow along with us, we're going to start now. You know, as I said before, we live in an ever-changing world. When I was younger, many, many years ago, 50 plus years ago, things were a lot different than they are now. Some of you have seen a lot more change than I have. Some of you have seen tremendous things that have happened over the last multiple decades. And you know, when you look back at it, you're like, wow, where did the time go? What has happened here? What's going on here? But, you know, in order to connect with these different groups of people, we must be willing to go outside the box. Guys, we've got to learn to go outside the box. We're not going to be able to do things always the way they were once done and reach multitudes of people. Some people are not going to be reached because of various things. And I'm going to hit on just three of these today. But I think they're very important things. If we're going to reach the lost, we have got to adapt in some of the way that we bring the message. Now, I'm not saying that. Don't misquote me here. I know how some Baptists can get every now and then. Well, that preacher said we just need to do this, this, and this. I am never advocating that we leave what the Scripture is telling us to do. I'm just saying we need to learn to adapt so that we can reach other people. Not changing the gospel of Christ, not changing who we are in Christ, but maybe changing our attitude about how we are going to deliver the message. Guys, the Apostle Paul is telling us in these verses, he was willing to do some things that was not required of him by Christ in order to reach people for Christ. So he became as a Jew when he was around the Jews. He became as a Gentile when he was around the Gentiles. Now, he also emphasized in the Scripture, I'm not going to change who I am in Christ. Guys, let me tell you something. It's not okay to go out and do ungodly things in the name of trying to spread the gospel. I'm not talking about that. But I could see Paul involved in some Jewish festivals maybe that he didn't really believe were necessary. But in order to reach those people, he went to them. You get where I'm going here? If you understand what I'm saying, say amen. Okay, if you don't, then just listen along. You'll get there in a minute, amen? Okay, we're going to get you caught up in just a minute. Guys, we got to realize that missed opportunities exist each day for us to connect with our family, our friends, our co-workers, with the gospel of Christ. Those opportunities exist. But I don't think sometimes we capitalize on them because some of us are like, I'm not doing that. There's no way. I'm not budging. Okay? So with that kind of attitude, if Paul had taken that attitude, there would be many people he would have never reached with the gospel of Christ. And we're talking about thousands of years ago. Imagine how it is today with all the different types of people that we have in the world today. It was of paramount importance to Paul that he reach as many as possible with the gospel of Christ. He knew that his life on this earth was going to be limited, that he had to do the work of Jesus as much as he could, as fast as he could, and as efficiently as he could do it. I think that's where we fall short sometimes. I don't think our service to the Lord is really efficient sometimes. I think we all want to serve God. If I ask everybody in here to raise your hand, if you want to serve God, everybody raise their hand. Well, what are we doing to accomplish that? That's what I'm trying to bring to you today. Where are you in your service to the Lord? Are you willing to budge on certain things in order to reach more people? That's where I'm trying to go with it today. You know, Paul was willing to do some things he ordinarily would not do as long as it did not compromise his walk with the Lord. He was going to do those things. Now, I want to take a look this morning at a few areas that I believe we need to be willing to adapt in order to reach the lost and get people into Bethesda Baptist Church here. Everybody with me? Okay, good. Good, good. Y'all are awake right now. Amen. I'm looking out. I got the best view in the house. Amen. Nobody's nodded off yet. Amen. All right, let's begin by talking about a very simple thing, and that is clothing. Now, people wear a lot of things nowadays, don't they? I mean, some of them certainly are not appropriate to wear inside the church house. Now, I'm not saying come up in here in some short shorts, you know what I'm saying? And that kind of attire. But guys, guess what? I think sometimes we get caught up in that dilemma about clothing. You know, I believe some people think you must be dressed to the hilt in order to come to church. You better have a coat and tie on. Women ought to have dresses on. That's not scriptural. There's nowhere in God's word that says that. Let me tell you something. The verses that people like to go back and refer to in reference to that go all the way back to the book of Deuteronomy, where it says men should not dress like women and women should not dress like men. Now, I find that a little weird if you even consider doing that. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm not planning on wearing a dress anytime. So that is some of what was talked about in those times there. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, the Bible tells us, God tells us that we should clothe ourselves in humility. Clothe ourselves in humility. Guys, let me tell you something. If we're going to start casting a condemning eye at somebody who walks in here in a pair of blue jeans and a t-shirt or whatever, then we're missing the boat. If you believe that, say amen. We're missing the boat. If we think in order for you to come and worship here at Bethesda Baptist Church, you ought to have on the fanciest clothes you can get every Sunday, we're missing the boat. Jesus did not teach that. There's nowhere in the New Testament especially that you can really even compare verses to what we wear to church. So, you know, some people get caught up in that because of the fact that Jesus brought us a new covenant. And let me say something about that for just a minute. How many of you realize we're no longer under compulsion to follow the old law? Jesus brought the new covenant. We are under the new covenant. We are no longer required to follow the rituals of the old covenant. We don't sacrifice animals anymore for sin. We go straight to the Father. Amen? We don't have to do those things anymore. Why? Because Jesus became the sacrificial lamb for us. We don't have to follow all those customs and rituals. It was a necessary thing in that day before Jesus came. God had to institute a way for people to find forgiveness. For people, He had to set the laws in place for people to follow. But Jesus came and He brought a new covenant to us. We're no longer bound by the Old Testament law and rituals. Now that's not... Some people may be saying, well, preacher, you saying, well, I'll just forget about the Old Testament? No, that's not what I'm saying. In fact, Jesus said, you need to follow my commands. He's talking about the Ten Commandments when he says that a lot of times. We still should follow the teachings of the Old Testament, but we are not bound by the customs and rituals that some of that depicts and displays. That's what I'm trying to tell you here today. So, let's look at that a little bit more here. Jesus never addressed the topic about what kind of clothes to wear to church. First of all, church really came along after Jesus was crucified. It really didn't even get started going until after Jesus ascended to heaven at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit of God came upon everyone, and that was the beginning of the new church. So you see, up until then, Jesus was going around teaching people, but it wasn't in a nice formal building. These buildings didn't come along until many, many, many years later. There were no fancy church buildings that people went and worshiped in. They just weren't there. I'm of the opinion, and you can believe me or not, that Jesus is more concerned with our inner beauty than with our outer appearance. Praise God for that, because if he looks at me, he's probably laughing right now. Amen? I'm glad he's looking at the inner beauty. Amen? So, guys, it's not about what you throw on the outside. And let me tell you something. I don't care what you wear to church as long as it's not offensive and has bad things on it and is just, you know, in terrible shape. But anytime you do wear something that draws more attention to you than what's trying to be preached and taught in the church house, then I think that is wrong. Amen. I believe that's wrong. But sometimes we get caught up in casting a critical eye or a condemning eye on somebody because of what they wear to church. And that's just not biblical. That's just not biblical. We should dress modestly, but that doesn't mean we have to wear a suit and tie or a dress in the case of our women here to church every Sunday. If you feel comfortable doing that, do it. I do it, but you know, I don't feel like I have to do it. I don't feel like God's going to condemn me if I come up here one Sunday in just a shirt and a sport coat, or maybe not even with a sport coat. But you see, sometimes we have been brought up to believe that. Did you see what, and I know how it is sometimes. Here's what happens. Somebody walks into a church sometimes and they got on something that looks a little strange or odd. The phone starts ringing after they get home. Did you see what that person had on today in church? Can you believe that? Y'all know what I'm talking about, amen? You know what I'm talking about. So see, Did we really get the picture when things like that happen? You ever thought maybe that's all that person's got to wear? Maybe that's the best thing they got to wear? We're fixing to go up to Athens in a minute where people are going to be dirty. They're going to smell. They're going to have clothes that are torn and tattered. But guess what? They're still God's children. Amen? And it's our job to worship to them and minister to them. Bring them in and let them know that they're welcome. Let them know that they're important in God's eyes. So it's not about what you're wearing. Be modest. Dress like you feel you should dress, but don't condemn somebody else because they choose to dress less fancy than you. It's what I'm trying to say here. The next thing I want to talk about is this. This is always a hot topic in the churches today. And that is, what about the Bible we choose to read and study? Now, I want you to listen carefully to what I'm fixing to say here, because first of all, English translations of the Bible have only been around for a few centuries. Okay? All of the other was Hebrew and Greek manuscript that had to be translated so that we could even understand what it said to begin with. I personally use a King James Version of the Bible when I read out of it. But let me tell you something. I in no way simply use it when I'm preparing a sermon. I get several different versions of the Bible and cross-reference and study from them. NIV, Holman Christian Standard Bible. You know, I choose to use this Bible because that's kind of what I was brought up with. But by no means should that be dictated that that is the only acceptable thing in God's eyes. That's crazy. That is not true. I use it because I like it. Jesus does not say which version of the Bible we should read because there were no versions back in his day. So he couldn't say in his word that you need to read this Bible. The King James Bible didn't even come around until the 1600s. And I'm going to share with you a couple of things right here. First of all, there's been basically three Bibles in the early days that were actually translated into English where people could read them. The first one was called the Great Bible back in 1539. Now, this is a long time ago. Then after that came the Geneva Bible around 1576. And it was 50 plus years later before King James commissioned the writing of the King James Bible. But let me go ahead and tell you this. The King James Bible has undergone several different upgrades throughout the years. In fact, the most commonly used version of the King James Bible is basically the 1769 version of the King James Bible. So, you know, people argue, well, those other versions leave out words. Those other versions add words. Guess what? If you compare the Geneva Bible, which the King James Bible came off of, there are words that were omitted or changed in the King James Version of the Bible. How many of you knew that? Anybody know that? Yes. You go back and you compare those manuscripts. You pull up online the Geneva Bible, King James Bible, and you look and you will see that words were changed for clarity. Or for the language that was being used at that point in time. So the argument that, oh, these other Bibles are added to or taken away could be made for the King James Bible, which took away or added to the original Geneva Bible manuscript. If you understand what I'm saying, say amen. So I know you're with me here, okay? Because this is a point with some people. This is a point with some people. They want to compare Bibles and say that, oh, no, that's adding to what the Bible's really saying. Let me ask you a question. If I'm reading something in my King James Bible and I don't understand it, and I go to somebody else who's a good Bible scholar and I say, hey, what does that mean? And they tell me, oh, that means so-and-so. And then I open my NIV Bible up and I see exactly what that person told me that scripture meant. What does that tell you? That tells you that that's exactly what that scripture meant, right? So it's not adding to or taking away from. If the doctrine is the same and you're getting the same message and it's in a language that you can understand, guys, that is why the Bible was translated into these different Bibles, was to make it line up with the language of that day. That's why the Geneva Bible was written. That's why the Great Bible started off. And that's why the King James Bible piggybacked off of those versions. But there were things added to and there were things omitted when the King James Version came along. So I just wanted to be sure everybody understood the history of that. King James commissioned the writing of that Bible in the early 1600s so that people could have a Bible they could understand in the English language. Okay? These other versions, of course, came along much later. Living Bible, NIV, and all those different kind of things. But guess what? Same principle. We are upgrading from the King James Version to the language of the day. So that's what it's about, guys. That's what it's about. Now, it doesn't mean that the doctrine has been changed in the word there. It's also helpful to remember that while King James authorized that particular translation for the Church of England in the 17th century, a particular translation for the Church of England in the 17th century, it's no more authoritative for us today than any other translation. It's no more authoritative for us today than any other translation. In fact, let me tell you another piece of history. When King James commissioned that Bible to be written, it was highly criticized in its day by those who preferred the earlier translations. Just like the argument we hear today in churches. When that King James Version came out, a lot of people said, "No, I like the Geneva Bible. This is not what I want to read." Same argument, guys. Centuries later, same argument we're going over. The King James Version most widely used today, by the way, is the 1769 version of the King James Bible. That was several revisions later after that Bible came out in 1611. The entire King James Version, Old and New Testament, came out in print in 1611. But it was what? 68 years later before the accepted translation that most of these King James Bibles are based off of today was put into use. Everybody following me here? The point I'm trying to make here is, as long as your Bible means what it says and it means what God intended, I don't care what version of the Bible you use. Amen? In fact, I use different versions of the Bible when I'm studying, like I said before. And the last thing I want to talk about is this today. And guys, the reason I feel like the Lord laid this on my heart to preach about this is because I think sometimes people can get very critical and condescending toward people because of what they wear, the Bible they read. And that's silly. That's missing the whole mark of what Jesus wants us to do. When Jesus confronted the woman at the well, how did he confront her? Did he walk up to her and say, "I'm not saying you're a woman, okay? I'm just using you for an example." Did he say, "You're nothing more than a filthy prostitute. What are you doing living with somebody you're not married to?" Is that the way Jesus approached that? No. What did he do? He sat down with her. He said he wanted a drink of water. And did she want a drink of water? And she thought he was talking about physical water. And he was talking about spiritual water. He already knew what she was about. But what was his mission? To give her living water. Amen. Not to criticize her. Not to bash her. Not to confront her. He came to give her living water. If he had attacked her verbally, she would have shut down on him immediately, just like a lot of people do today when we come with a critical heart toward people. So I'm telling you, if you want to live like Jesus lived, you're going to show grace. You're going to show mercy. You're going to show compassion. You're going to be kind, good. You're going to be all of the fruit of the Spirit the way you conduct yourself out in public. If you expect someone to listen to what you have to say about Jesus Christ, you've got to know how to approach them. The last thing I want to talk about here today is about worship. You know, the Bible doesn't say we have to sing a certain type of music, nor does it say we have to act a certain way during a service. It's not a matter of getting together on Sunday and singing songs and giving money and listening to a sermon and heading home for the rest of the week to do whatever we want, guys. Every moment of every day is to be an act of worship to God. Amen? Amen. You should be worshiping God in every facet of your life. Amen. Not just when you come in here on Sunday. You should be worshiping Him when you're at work. You should be worshiping Him on your way to work, on your way home from work, when you're walking around in the yard. Man, sometimes I just say, "Lord, that's just beautiful out there. Man, thank you for giving us that." That's what worship is about. We have traditionalized and formalized and programized, if that's a word, religion to the point where we think we only worship when we come to church. In fact, that should be one of the smallest areas of your worship life, because you're only here a couple hours a week, right? Everywhere else you go, you should be worshiping God and praising God. Amen? We don't do enough of that. We think that's reserved for inside this building, and that's simply not true. We're to worship God everywhere. Everywhere we are. Not just inside this church house. In fact, I think some of my greatest moments of worship come when I'm outside the confines of this building. When somebody walks into my path that God can let me minister to and can share with, that's when I feel like I'm really worshiping, amen? That's when I feel like I'm worshiping. Every moment of every day is to be an act of worship to God. I certainly believe if the Lord's leading you to say amen during the service, say it. If He's wanting you, leading you to raise your hand in praise to a song you love, raise your hand. Part of your worship experience with Jesus involves what the Lord is placing on your heart. Don't succumb and suppress the Holy Spirit in your heart because somebody else next to you is sitting there not acting the same way you do. Worship is from within. You worship the way you feel God is leading you to worship. Amen?
Amen.
And remember, God's looking at your heart. He's not looking at your $1,000 suit. He's not looking at your $10 million house. He's not looking at your $50,000 vehicle. He's looking at your bare heart that He wants to live in and He wants to work out of. Amen? That's what He's looking for. So don't get caught up in all of that stuff. What is important is that we're worshiping our risen Savior, not just in church, but every minute of the day. I want to challenge you to have a spirit of worship everywhere you go. When you're inviting somebody to church, have a smile on your face. Don't sit there and go, hey, we got church, you know, you can come if you want to. We'd like to have you. Yeah, you're really convincing that person you want them to be there, right? Amen?
Amen.
So guys, it's about who we are on the inside that God's concerned with. Jesus doesn't care if you come wearing a pair of sandals in here. Guess what? That's what He wore, amen? He didn't have any shoes He put on His feet. He came in a smelly robe. You know, nowhere in the Bible does it say Jesus ever took a bath. I hadn't found it anyway. Now, I'm sure maybe He did at some point in time, but hey, you know what? We got to take what the Lord brings in these doors. We got to accept Him. We got to make them feel welcome. Then we can minister to them and help them get better. But guys, that's the thing I'm trying to get across to you today. In order to reach people with the gospel of Christ, we need to take the attitude that Paul had, that he was going to adapt and conform to certain people, not changing who he was in Christ, but trying to get a little more down on their level so that he could understand and communicate with them. I'm not saying you need to go out and get drunk with somebody and witness to Jesus in the bar. Amen. Witness to somebody about Jesus in the bar. That's not what I'm saying. I don't think you even need to go in there to do that. I'm saying that you need to be willing to change some things in order to reach more people for Christ. That's what I'm talking about. I believe we get too traditional, too set in our ways. Sometimes we forget what our real purpose is. You know what that is? We are commissioned to spread the gospel. And let me remind you about something else too. We are under a new covenant. We are not under the old covenant anymore. You know what gets me about some preachers? They want to preach old covenant stuff to a certain extent. Then they'll throw in Jesus in there. Well, how do those two mix together? Jesus brought the new covenant with Him. The old covenant was left behind after Jesus came and brought us a new covenant and brought us forgiveness and brought us grace and brought us mercy. We're not forgetting about the Old Testament, but if you're living your life based on Old Testament rules and laws, you're missing the picture about what Jesus wants for you today. That's what I'm trying to tell you. So guess what? If I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I've been forgiven for sins I might commit 24 hours from now. How about that?
Amen.
Can't say that about in the Old Testament days. No, you had to come and bring sacrificial offerings in order to get cleansed for things like that. We have a direct line of communication and we have a direct responsibility to Jesus to serve Him to the best of our ability.
Amen.
Are we doing that on a daily basis? Are you doing that on a daily basis? Or are you sitting back saying, well, I can't believe what those teenagers wore to church today. Or I can't believe that, you know, and I'm not being critical of this, but, you know, when we did our surveys a while back, one of the things that somebody put on there, and one of the reasons I'm trying to help you understand this, was they felt like we should only use the King James Bible here. Well, guess what? If we demanded that everybody only use that version of the Bible, we probably wouldn't have but 10 or 15 people in here right now. Think about that. Yeah, you want to force that on some people? Go ahead. But you're going to limit who you can reach for Christ, because the words of the other translations are simply newer language adapted off the older language, just like the Geneva Bible and just like the other versions of the Bible before that. So, guys, we got to learn to adapt. We got to learn to be flexible. We got to learn that, hey, if I'm going to reach somebody, like today when we go up and minister to these homeless people, you can't go up to them and start being critical of them and how they look. And heck, some of them say bad words sometimes around us. I don't walk up to them and say, you need to watch your mouth, buddy, or you ain't getting a sandwich today. I don't tell them that. But sometimes they do. Last time we went, police came up, pulled a guy over to the side, patted him down, questioned him about stealing a bicycle. These are the people we minister to. We don't look at them as being criminals and outcasts. We look at them as being human beings. And I've learned a lot from them. I'll go ahead and tell you that. Amen. I've learned a lot from the people that we go and minister to. And any of you that ever want to go with us, come go with us. You'll learn to appreciate things a whole lot more. I can guarantee you that. I can promise you that. But guys, I just want us to be willing to adapt. You like a certain way of dressing? You like a certain Bible? You like a certain style of worship? Amen. Go for it. But don't question somebody else who chooses to do it a little differently. That's what I'm saying. And if we can do that, then we will see people come in the doors of this church, and we will see people wanting to be a part of Bethesda Baptist Church. Amen? Amen. That's what I want to see. I've shared my points on that, and I just hope and pray that the Lord will touch your heart there and that you'll do what you feel led to do. You should never do something that is uncomfortable to you, but you should always be willing to adapt and change when it's necessary. That's the point I'm trying to make. You cannot continue to live like we're in the 1800s. This building is 200 years old, but I guarantee you one thing. Society does not live today like it lived 200 years ago. I can promise you that. And if we want to reach out to a lost and dying world, we must learn to do as the Apostle Paul did and adapt our style of ministry from time to time. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you for everybody that's here today. Lord, I pray that you were pleased with this service today. Father God, I just pray now that you'll bless us as we go and minister to the homeless here in a little while. I pray, God, that you'll touch our hearts and challenge us here. Lord, I pray that we'll continue to reach out to this lost and dying world and try to get as many people to come and to come to know you as they can. And Father God, I'm just thankful to be able to deliver the word today. I pray that it was pleasing in your sight, Lord. And bless us now as we come to this point of our service. I just pray, God, this altar will fill up. If people are led to come and pray, if they're not, that's fine. They can pray right where they are. But Lord, if you're leading someone to come up here and pray, I pray that nothing will hinder them from coming, that they'll come. And Lord, we're going to give you the praise for everything, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What are we singing?
Hymn 161.
Hymn number 161. Let's stand and sing hymn number 161.